Jules, 8 minutes here before the top of the hour. Chinese President Xi Jinping is reemerging this week alongside Russia's President Vladimir Putin. They will have a meeting on Thursday. That'll be the first time they've sat down together since Russia invaded Ukraine. Joining us now is Rebecca Chong Wilkins, Bloomberg's Asia Government and Politics correspondent. Well, it's a pretty interesting time, and I think you'd have to say, Rebecca, that given the losses that we've seen of late by Vladimir Putin in Ukraine, that this could give Xi Jinping the upper hand. What does Xi Jinping want from Vladimir Putin?
Well, I think that the big sort of goal from this type of trip, on the one hand, it does seem to sort of be this victory lap for Xi Jinping ahead of Congress and a return to the global stage. But on the other, he does seem very keen with projecting this image of an alternative world order. And of course, Putin very much and Russia's support very much feeds into that idea. And we've seen both comments from Moscow and Beijing sort of upping the ante on this type of rhetoric around combating the hegemony, acting as a counterweight to NATO, for example, and creating this multipolar context. And of course, the Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin meeting will be the centerpiece, I think, of this visit. It's important to understand as well, this is all happening in Central Asia, where Xi Jinping, you know, almost 9 years to the day, launched that landmark piece of foreign policy, his Belt and Road Initiative, nearly 9 years ago. So again, we are seeing very much Xi Jinping coming to lay out not just this sort of clear tilt towards Russia, but this much more global vision that he has just ahead of that Congress that Ishika mentioned, which is coming up mid next month.
And we read that Vladimir Putin could seek to push through an agreement on the Power of Siberia too. That's a gas pipeline that would carry Russian gas to China. What is the current status of that?
Yes, indeed. I think that is a big question mark. I mean, Russia exports to China have jumped, you know, nearly 50% to $41 billion in the first 5 months of this year. So we have seen ties, trade ties, certainly between Moscow and Beijing grow this year. When it comes to energy in particular, clearly China is leaning on Russia to source more of its coal imports, for example, about 40% this year. But saying that, you know, China still does primarily rely on its local mines to supply its coal. And so there is certainly a very asymmetric relationship here, even as Russia clearly is likely to push for more support from China and obtain more industrial, more technological imports to help fill the hole and that void of Western goods because of sanctions.
On the other side of the coin, we have seen plenty of calls from Chinese officials and calls in China for Russia to do more to protect civilians in Ukraine. Is there any chance that we would see a strong pushback from Xi Jinping? I mean, what are we hearing about some sort of pushback on the aggressive nature of Russia in Ukraine?
Well, on the whole, although we have seen some of those quite carefully placed comments on, you know, repeating, I think, mainly comments made in the past for compromise and for sort of peaceful negotiations and more peaceful resolution, I think, you know, we from some of China's sort of top leaders, its number three official, for example, its top diplomat, we have seen more sort of comments along that promote sort of Russia that and supposedly seem to support and back Russia. I will say it is important to note that China itself, in its state media and its sort of readouts from diplomatic interactions, hasn't made that many explicit comments on its willingness to assist, and specifically use that word, assist Ukraine, although Russian readouts have.
Yeah, it hasn't, because it seems that the larger goal is that the two stand together countering the West.
Absolutely. And I think that is the broader goal here. And China itself, of course, will be very carefully treading this line between, on the one hand, wanting to support that counterweight to the West, a counterweight ultimately to a US-led world order, but on the other, steering very clear of anything that could risk invoking sanctions. And if you kind of look at the actions that China took initially at the outset of the war, they were quite careful to sort of sever some of its links and some of its economic links with Russia. So we have seen this very delicate balance.
Yeah, it is. All right, Rebecca, thanks very much for your insights. Rebecca Chung-Wilkins, Bloomberg Asia Government and Politics correspondent.